thinking when I was here before, and I don't remember when I was here before. I know it was a while ago, and but it's so great to be back. And how many of you were here when I was here the last time with Gord? Okay. Well, we're excited to be back. It's Gord and I left early this morning, and but I want you to turn in your scriptures. I've got a couple of things I want to do this morning. I shared with Pastor Steph that I don't have a sermon for tonight, which usually indicates something when that happens. And let me just give you a quick background. I think it was a year and a half ago or something when I was here last. Since then, due to unforeseen circumstances, I'm more involved in a church in Petawawa, or we call it PET. I drive there every Sunday morning. It's 2 hours one way. I've been doing it for over a year now. It was supposed to be a short-term fill-in. What had happened is the pastor of that church was killed in a truck accident, and I'd had relationship with that fellowship before that, and they asked me to step in. I thought it was going to be part-time, short-time. How many of you know that God doesn't always fill in the blanks? He just says, walk. Okay? So, Lord, we give you the glory this morning for everything you're going to do, everything you've done, and everything you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, in light of that, what happened is I said I would come alongside of the leadership, and we would just kind of figure out what God wanted to do, and we're still figuring it out. How many of you know it's good to figure out what God wants to do? You're doing it. You're doing it here. You're figuring out what God wants, and that's a great place to be. I just heard when you were praying for the new addition to your church, the little one that's coming tomorrow, I heard something in my spirit, and I want you to write this down somewhere, because you're going to have to get used to this in this season you're in, and that's this. You're coming into a season of a whole lot of new arrivals. Listen, you're coming into a season of a whole lot of new arrivals, and you know what? When new arrivals come, especially when it comes to babies, they're not pretty when they come. They are to mom and dad, but to everybody else, they don't look so pretty, and they are kind of bluish colored, and they may scream a bit, and the doctors take them and clean them up. How many of you know that church shouldn't always be nicey? If we're going to touch the world, church has to adjust some of what we do.
Okay. Let's go down this road here.
We have to adjust what we're going to do. I heard the Lord say there's new arrivals. I heard the Lord also say that you're not traditional. I'm going to preach it anyway, so it's okay. But the problem is sometimes we want to hang on to our history to determine our future. We can't hang on to our history and make history. We appreciate history. We value history. We value what history has given to us. But you can't make history hanging on to history, because history is the past. And we don't live in the past. We live in the present, heading for the future. You all proclaimed something this morning on your very first song. You all publicly, if you sang that song, you publicly said something to the heavenlies about what you as a person, you as a people were willing to do. And what did you say? Yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, yes. You said it. Guess what? He's going to hold you accountable. He's going to hold you accountable to it. I think that's a cool thing. I think that's a great place to be. I think that's an awesome place to be. Because not only are you headed for new revivals and saying, yes, Lord, yes, but you said something else in your second song. I'm trading in my sorrows. I'm trading in my past, what was, so I can embrace fully. I'm going to plow this. It's okay. I'm going to plow this. Pastor Stephanie, I got to get used to this. When Pastor Stephanie called me a few months ago, come on the phone, and she says, hi, Perry, it's so-and-so, and I would recognize her voice anywhere, especially on the telephone. And she's telling me, and would you come? I said, I'll tell you what, I'll pray, and if Dad gives me a green light, I'll come. That's the only way I operate. That's the way I live my life as a Christian. That's the way I live my life spiritually, is if Dad doesn't tell me to do it, I'm not interested, thanks. It's the way I want to live, pleasing Dad. And I call him Dad because he is my dad. So if that offends you, I'm sorry, but he's my dad. And so I don't want to go anywhere, do anything that Dad doesn't tell me to do. And so when Dad, over a while, period of time, gave me permission to come, I said, okay, Dad, what's up? He said, here's what's up. He says, I'm changing the culture of the house to prepare the culture of the house for what's coming to the house. I can't say that again. Get the recording. Because whether you realize it or not, the culture around this area is changing. The landscape is changing. Pastor Stephanie referred to it as to where they live. It's changing. And you know what? God is changing this house. I'm just going to give you a little glimpse of what the Lord dropped in my spirit yesterday. He's building a new castle for the king to reign. Let me say it again. He's building a new castle for the king to reign. The last time I was here, I didn't realize that your name was Crossroads, and yet the Lord told me, he said, I'm moving you from the crossroads. And here I am now, and you're called Newcastle. And yesterday, about 2 p.m., the Lord dropped into my spirit. He said, I'm building a new castle for the king to reign. If that doesn't excite you, it sure excites me. I'm telling you, that excites me. So there are some things I want you to understand, that your land of plenty is going to replace the place of lack. The more than enough will become so ingrained in you that that which has been lacking will not even be talked about. And here is the question. When was the last time you got ran over by a blessing? No, seriously. When was the last time you got ran over by a blessing? I'm not thinking about the song at Christmas time that's saying, Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. Okay. But the Lord really specifically gave me something this morning. And I talked briefly with Pastor Steph before the service. And I try not to talk to people a lot before service because I don't want to know things in the natural. I'd rather hear it in the spirit and then tell you what I heard. And then I can tell you I didn't hear it from somebody telling me. Now, you can do what you want with that. But when I hear it from God without somebody telling me, you can either call me a liar or you heard from God. It's okay. I'm okay with that. And so if you have your scriptures, turn to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to run fast this morning because I've got a lot of land to cover, and so I'm going to just hit some points, and I just want to, if you want a sermon title this morning, I'll give it to you. It's very simple. God, where are you? Anybody ever asked that question this week? I ask it at least 3 times a week. I do. I seriously do, because I want to know where God is, because I want to be where God is. I don't want to be thinking God is there. I want to be where God is. I want to be with the people who know where God is and who want God to be with them. I've been in church my whole life. I've never not been in church. But I'll tell you, there was times when I was in church where I was asking the question, where is God in all of this? Come on, if you, and I was the leader. That was the crazy part. I was the leader going, where are you in all of this? And I went, God, I think you left and you forgot to tell us your forwarding address. And but Philippians chapter 2, I want us to just quickly look at something. Could I have the freedom this morning to just kind of decree some things that I hear in my spirit? Okay, is that okay? And everything I say, I submit it to the leadership of this house. When I pray over people and the Lord gives me something to share with people, I want to just say something, because this happens frequently, that sometimes when a guest speaker shares with people a word from God for them, they'll take that word of God and then they'll run back and they'll share with everybody and say, well, he said it, so therefore I am it, so you gotta let me be that. Well, wait a minute, let me just correct something here. Everything that goes on in this house is under the leadership of this house. I, right now, I'm under the leadership of this house. And if I say something to you by the Spirit of God that authenticates something that you are, that doesn't put you here and leadership here. Amen. It puts leadership here and you working in submission with leadership. Amen. Thank you. Because here's what happens if we get that upside down and inside out. People who have wrong identities because they think their identity is in a word or a calling without understanding fully who they are in Christ cannot sustain the purposes of God when their identity is wrong. Everything in the body of Christ flows out of our relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everything. And everything must be in proper rank and order. Your purposes, your callings, your giftings must be operated out of the right identity. Amen. Okay? It's okay. I'm okay with it. Amen? I am. I really am. Because if we don't, it just creates chaos and destruction. Tonight, I pray for you this morning. We'll see how it kind of lands. I want you to understand. First of all, I hope it's all recorded. I tell people, if I'm going to pray over you, bring your phone. And I usually want people to record it on my end. So if somebody said, you said, then I can go, wait a minute, here it is. Let's not filter it the way we want to filter it. Amen? Amen. Because sometimes we can hear through what we want to hear and not really be hearing what we should be hearing. Amen? Have a drink. As I was saying in Petawawa, it's been a thrilling year. It was a tough year. We went in and there was grief in the house and there was loss in the house. They had two major leadership changes within, they had three major leadership changes within 3 years. The founding pastor resigned, brought in a pastor, lasted nine months. He left. The other guy and his wife took over and he was killed in a truck accident. And then the Lord says, here, Perry, would you come? But I want to tell you something. Our God is a restorative God. Our God is an amazing God. Our God is a real cool God, and there's nothing our God cannot do. Amen. So I just don't want to discount whatever you're facing, but I want to put it in proper perspective. It's not bigger than God. We've seen last summer, we saw 14 water baptisms at the Hedrick Farm. We were only going to do seven, and God just spoke to a whole bunch of people. And a whole bunch of people said, "Can I get water baptized right now?" They didn't bring any clothes other than what they were wearing. And I just sat there and went, we had three weddings last year, two dedications. God's just doing some crazy stuff. Isn't God cool? But I say all that to say this. Married my daughter 2 weeks ago. Hallelujah. My wife and I have empty nest syndrome. We don't know what that is. We haven't had time to have empty nest syndrome. But you know what? I'm so excited about the season in life. I'm so excited about your season in life right now. You've got to grab a hold of this. And I know it's just a word. And I know sometimes we just kind of go, I've heard that so much. No, this is a new season. You've got to grab a hold of that. You've got to start hooking up to that. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 and chapter 2, verse 12. I want to hit a couple of highlights. And the first thing I want us to understand, the first point I want us to understand is we've got to trust God and act. You've got to trust God and act. And it talks about in verse 12, and it talks about in verse 13, it talks about walking out our salvation and working out our salvation. I'm not talking about getting saved, okay? Hear what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. Jesus is the one who saves us. We get that. But there's a part of our salvation that we have to take responsibility for in a thing called sanctification and growing up in Christ that we have to take responsibility for. Amen? But God is at work in you. Say that, in me. Well, then in verse 13, he says that God is working out some things. See, God is working some things in this house so that he can work some things out of this house. Let me say it. God has been up to something for a very long time in this house. He's been working things in. God always works in and then he works out. Gordon and I were talking about it on the way up when we stopped for breakfast. I've done a lot of counseling with people over the years, and I've found that over the years, the number one issue, if you cannot get to the heart, you're going nowhere. You're wasting your time. Because you can talk till the cows come home, and all you're going to hear is a bunch of moo. Seriously. I've spent hours helping people only to realize we couldn't get to the heart because there's so much roadblocks. But if we can get to the heart, we can change things. God gets to your heart. God gets to my heart. God gets to the heart of this house. I'll tell you, it will not look the same. This house does not look the same to me as the last time I was here. It does not look the same. The atmosphere in this house is different. The atmosphere in this house is becoming electrified. I know you're familiar with it, and you come Sunday after Sunday, and you may kind of say, well, you know, it's a little different, but it's not that different. I'm a visitor, and I'm telling you it's different. You can believe me or not, but I'm going to tell you anyway, it's different. There's a pregnancy in the atmosphere. There's a baby that's been impregnated with the purposes of God, and the baby's about to be birthed. But you know what? It takes somebody saying, birth it, God, birth it. I don't know even where we're going here. Anyway, here's what's interesting. We see in 1 Samuel 14, verse 6, it's the whole story of the Philistines and Saul's leading, and Saul's supposed to be out there out front leading them, and the Philistines are on this hill, and the children of God are over here. And what's interesting about this whole thing is the Philistines controlled the western border of Israel, and the battle lines were drawn, and the place was called Michmash. It's interesting. Hidden place. I'll come back to that. Saul seemed to be quite content on sitting on the sidelines, letting things happen, but not doing much. It's right there. Read it. It's right there. Saul was the leader, and he was just kind of, it's okay. Everything's okay. It's okay. But Jonathan said, no, it's not okay. Jonathan said, I don't want to be on the sideline. I don't want to be in the back seat. I don't want to just let life go by. He wanted to be in the front line. He wanted to see God do something. He wanted to have the purposes of God fulfilled. In 1 Samuel 14, 1, and he said, Jonathan says to his armor bearer, he says, come, let us go to the other. Let's go over to the Philistines. Let's go over to the outpost on the other side, and let's see what God will do. If you want the word of the Lord, I'm going to tell you the word of the Lord. Saul's days are over. Saul should have been front line and center. Saul should have been up there doing what he should have done. But Saul, for whatever reason, I'm not here to judge him. I'm not here to criticize. For whatever reason, Jonathan began to step up, and he said, my mind just goes, woo! Jonathan says to his armor bearer, let's go into the enemy's territory and do something. He's my kind of guy. Let's not just sit inside four walls and talk about how great God is and how great God was. I've seen how God has been great in the past. I've seen how God has done some amazing things. But I want to tell you something. I don't care in context of what he wants to do. Ouch! Because here's what happens to us as Christians. We become Sauls and we don't even realize it. When you make a move, write this down. Write this down. When you make a move that is obedience, motivated by God's asking, when you make a move
motivated by God's asking. Who do you think asked Jonathan to go into the Philistine camp? Jonathan, when you receive a word from God, move. When you receive a promise from God, grab a hold of it with every ounce of your being and say, yes, I can't fulfill it, but he made the promise. It's his job. I've watched the body of Christ be Saul way too long. I've watched it. I've done it in my own life. A word from God to be attained or fulfilled is intentional. There is no such thing as advancing the kingdom of God accidentally. Doesn't happen. They accidentally got pregnant. Get it? And here's what I hear in this house. You're intentionally moving as an army. You're intentionally rising up. You're intentionally going after the promises of God or redigging the wells that the Philistines had covered over. You're intentionally saying, we're not just going to exist, we're going to do something. Are you in? God's always intentional. Always. God's never accidental in what he does. He's always intentional. You see, what is the key to this? The key, first of all, is you and I trusting God. And if you're trusting God, there has to be an action to it. Faith without works is just talk. Come on. I see faith arising in this house. I see faith arising. Yeah, but we can't do it in yourself. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely in over your head. But that's where it's a good place to be. Because if you don't need God to do what only God can do, then maybe it ain't God doing it. This last year, God has put my wife and I in places where I went, oh God, if you don't show up before we even get there, we may as well not show up because we're done before we get there. The Lord told me at the first of this year, he gave me a theme for the church in Petawawa, and the theme for the church in Petawawa is 2008, making a difference. 18, add some more years to it. You guys are sharp. 2018, making a difference. So we're moving with the theme of making a difference. Every week we're building on making a difference. Why? Because my God makes a difference. My Jesus makes a difference. The moving of the Spirit makes a difference. And so for you and I to really move forward, there was something you sang this morning, I loved it, and Philippians talks about straining toward what is ahead. If I was to say to you, I want you to strain towards this stage, what would you do? Just sit there and look at me? You see, there's a straining. There's a tension right now going on, and that tension is God. That tension is God. And what he's asking you and he's asking me is he's asking us all the same question. Will you do what I want? And what are you willing to pay to do it? What are you willing to adjust to do it? When my wife and I decided that we needed to be involved in Petawawa, we realized that we would lose every one of our weekends. We realized we would lose time during the week, and we realized that we would end up pastoring from a distance, which in the natural is goofy. And I've been reminded of that by people quite frequently. But when God's in it, whether it's goofy or not, God has a way of doing it. And we're watching God do it. And we're just going, how do you do this? Because he's God. But you see, we had to strain towards the obedience of what God asked us to do. I'm gone usually 12 hours or more on every Sunday. Usually more. And every Sunday when I come home, I go, God, you did it again. You did it again. You did it again. And I come home and I share it with my wife. You see, to go forward, we have to get focused and then go for it. You got to get focused. You can't focus on 20 things and do 20 things. And right now, I'll tell you what God is doing is he's got you in the lens. He's got you in the scope of his lens, and he's adjusting your focus. He's adjusting the crosshairs in the scope so you hit the bullseye. See, I love what Jonathan said. He said, let's go over to the Philistine camp and just see what God will do. I love Jonathan's attitude. I love his approach. But you know, I think sometimes we think, perhaps the Lord won't act, so we won't do anything.
perhaps God won't do anything. So rather than be disappointed that God might not do anything, we won't do anything, so we won't be disappointed that God might not do anything. Let's just stir this a little bit. Instead of saying, you know what? We're just going to go out there and we're going to fill that food bank and we're going to minister to our communities and we're going to invite our neighbors and we're going to hang out and have coffee with our other neighbors and we're going to just do some cool things. And you know what? We're just going to look at what God does. Amen.
In the last year, my wife and I's friendship base has switched completely from civil, or I'm going to say civil, but civilians to forces personnel or retired forces personnel. We have very few civilian friends. A year and a half ago, we had all civilian friends. And let me tell you, our forces personnel have a whole different culture. One I knew nothing about 2 years ago. Both my daughters are married to servicemen. I'm serious. And the Lord is opening up something. The Lord asked me, he said, Perry, I want you to start praying for the Petawawa base. 10,000 people. Are you nuts? Somebody's got to do it. I told our people, I said, let's start asking God to give us an inroad onto the base. Do you know what the divorce rate in our forces is? Do you know what marital disruption in our forces is? The rate is just unbelievable. And the hurt. And I'm asking God for revival. How about you? I can't do it. But I'm saying, let's go into the Philistine camp and go, come on, God, what do you want to do? Have you got a plan? No, but I got a God that will give me a key. Somebody told me, you know how hierarchy that whole thing's. I said, I don't really care. All I care is give me one at a time. Every time a forces personnel comes to our church, I say, can we pray for you? And they go, yeah. We've prayed for people heading off can't think of the name. We've prayed for so many people. See them once and they're gone. I go, God, let the glory of God touch these, protect them. And I tell you, what an opportunity. God sends international people to you and you get to send them. Whoa. I'm asking for revival. I'm asking God to touch hearts. How about you? I'm asking God to give us those people. But we're straining. We're pushing for it. We're doing whatever we got to do it. We are not willing to embrace the idea or the attitude or the thinking that God won't act. And we're not willing to sit on the sidelines like Saul. But we're willing to embrace the whole spiritual attitude and spiritual idea that perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf and we're going to try to figure that out as best we can. Amen. So the first thing in moving into what God wants is you and I have to be willing to be obedient. And because this house has been obedient and because you're putting action to it, I will tell you right up front, look for what the Lord is doing. Did the Lord rescue Israel? Verse 23, yes, he did. It takes a daring decision. And the daring decision that Jonathan made was, I will act. When you move, I'll give you a simple phrase. When you move out of obedience to God, God will move. Let me say it again. When you move in obedience to God, when you know the word of the Lord, and you know that you know that you know the word of the Lord, not I think, but you know somehow in here, you know that you know, I'll tell you, God will always act. He will always act. He will never, never, never not fulfill his promise. So trust God and always obey. God's working it out. God's working out of you what he's been working in you. Obviously, the second point I want us to understand out of Philippians chapter 2 is, first of all, it's God. It's God. It's obvious, it's God. It's all for him, it's God. Pastor Stephanie prayed it, and I absolutely agree. For it is God who works. It is God who works. It's God who provides and produces in you the desires and the actions to please him. It's God, it's God, it's God who gives you the desires. It may come a thought, it may come, well, I had this picture, I had this dream, I had this. That's God speaking to you, to your spirit man, to share what he's wanting to do. Amen.
Hearing the voice, let me say something. Hearing the voice of God is not complicated.
Let's just stir this one a little bit here.
I grew up in church, that I grew up in a culture where hearing God was very difficult. Anybody else? I was told, eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man what God will do.
So Perry, you don't know his thoughts and you don't know his ways, Isaiah.
But they didn't quote John that says, my sheep hear my voice. They forgot about that verse. And I, as a Christian for years, wondered what God wanted, and I flipped and I flopped, and that wasn't the TV program. I didn't know what God wanted. And finally, one day I said, God, if I'm one of your sheepies, would you please make it clear to me what your voice is all the time? He said, okay. That shifted everything for me. It shifted everything for me.
James says a double-minded man is Humpty Dumpty.
You see, but how can you know that? First of all, you've got to be in relationship with this. You've got to be in relationship. You can't visit this once a month. You've got to be in relationship with the Word. You've got to be in relationship in prayer. You've got to be in relationship. Let me just say something. You've got to be in relationship with brothers and sisters who are doing something for God. You've got to be in relationship with brothers and sisters who are doing something for God. Not in relationship with people who are just sitting around talking about it. War room strategies are good, but war room strategies without application is just a waste of time. Ooh, did I say that? Let me just say something else. Prayer without action needs improvement. If I'm praying for my neighbor and I don't build a relationship with my neighbor and I don't love my neighbor and I don't connect with my neighbor, come on. See, right now God is moving the body of Christ into practical application. Spirituality is practical, very practical. And so what we see, it's very obvious that Jonathan said, you know what? Jonathan was very, very, very aware of God and his situation. Could I ask you a question as a believer? Could I ask you as a congregation, as a people, are you very aware of God in this house? Are you very aware that God is in this house?
In the world, because his God is in the house. I'm not talking about we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about that. That's good doctrine. That's good stuff. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about the manifested habitation of the presence of God in our midst. That's what I'm talking about. I've been in churches where they say God's there, and I'm going, where? If you tell me there's a healing anointing in the room, tell me who got healed. I'm serious. You tell me salvation's in the house and nobody got saved? I got a question for you. I go to McDonald's and I order a steak and they don't deliver? Maybe I'm in the wrong restaurant. See what I'm saying? I want you, if you hear nothing else I say, I want you to hear this. I want you to grab a hold of it. If you need to reach your hand to heaven, whatever you need to do, I want you to grab a hold of it. God is in this house. He's in this house. Genesis 28, verse 16. You know, it's the story of Jacob's ladder, having a snooze on a rock. And he says, oh, this is a portal to heaven. Woo-hoo-hoo, God's here. And then he says, I was not aware of that. We can come to church and not even be aware. We can be in a meeting where God's moving and not even aware that God's moving. I don't want to have a ladder to heaven and not aware. You get the point? I do not want to be, I was not aware. I do not want to be with the people who are not aware. This house, you've got to train your spiritual ears. You've got to allow your spiritual eyes to be opened so that you become so acute and aware that the Lord is with you that you just know. You can't come to church and grab a chair, your familiar chair, and sit in the same place every week and go, oh, that was nice. Pastor Stephanie did a great job. I'm all tickled. Maybe you need to be pickled. Hang around the day of Pentecost and you'll get pickled. Whatever. But the point is, we have got to become aware. We've got to allow the Lord to cause us to become so sensitive to his awareness and his purposes and his plan in our midst that we go, nothing else matters. I go to meetings and I say, God, if you don't show up and you don't do anything, don't waste my time.
Don't send me if you're not going to come. If you're not going to do something with these people in Newcastle, then don't send me. Send somebody else. I want to live so aware that when I'm done living here, I just move on there. I'm in my sweet zone. Let me tell you, I turn 60 next year. I am so thrilled right now with what God's doing. I have lived for 60 years for this. I have lived for 60 years to see God do what He promised. And I tell you, there's been years where I went, God, are you doing anything? He says, keep looking to the horizon. Keep looking, son. Keep looking. Don't stop looking because you're going to start seeing it. Because what you look at is what you see. And if you just look at what's wrong, that's all you're going to see. But you need to start looking at what's right. You need to start looking at the new birth. You need to start looking at the wooing and the moving and the brooding of the Spirit in this house. Whew, I'm preaching myself happy. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, verse 15 of Genesis 28. I don't know any greater promise. I don't know any greater thing God could ever do for you and I is to say that I will go with you. But see, going with us doesn't mean He's just going to sit in the sidelines and not doing it. It means He's going to do what only He can do. See, I believe in preaching the gospel. I believe in the gospel. I believe in the good news. But I want to tell you something. I also believe in the demonstration of it. I believe God ought to take His word and He ought to watch over His word and He ought to perform His word with things that we can't do. Mark 16. Here's what's interesting about moving from not being aware. Moses was not aware that God was trying to get his attention until he turned. Could I tell you what's happening in this house? You're turning. You're turning. You are turning. And what's interesting is God did not speak to Moses until Moses turned. Let me put it another way. Moses tuned in. See, God is dialing you in right now. He's dialing each one of you in. He's working on your frequency. He's interfacing you to Him. You will have some of the greatest God experiences or encounters in your everyday life as you go about life. That is a bit challenging when we think we ought to have all our God experiences at church. Let me say it again. Some of your greatest God encounters in these days ahead, not discounting what He will do in this house. He will do it in the house. But I'm telling you, He's wanting to do it out of the house. It's called Marketplace. And you're it. Mary Magdalene thought Jesus was just a gardener. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:14, he says, wake up, sleeper. Wake up. Wake up, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wake up. Wake up. God can use a miracle to wake you up. God can use relationships and people to wake you up. God can use trials, etc., to wake you up. But I want to tell you, God is waking you up. Do what God told you to do. Act. Become aware that God is in your midst. And let me just say something else that I think is very important for this house. Small things matter. Small things matter. We as Christians look for the big things and say, look at how big God is. And yes, 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 yes. But we don't look at God in the small things. We don't look at God going, man, you guys are an awesome couple with a fresh anointing. Man, it's so good to see you this morning. Thanks for coming. Thanks for not going somewhere else. Thanks for not disappearing for 4 months. Thanks for giving me that bottle of water. Thanks for somebody cleaning the house, which is everybody's job. Only visitors don't clean the house, but people who own the house make sure the house is cleaned. Are you an owner of this house, or are you a visitor? Visitors come to my place. They don't raid my fridge. Visitors have different boundaries in my house. And if you are, this is your house, this is your home,
these are your people. Take ownership. Small things matter. Yeah, but I can't preach. Who asked you to? Can you open a door? Can you give a high five? Can you make a phone call? Can you invite somebody? Can you hug somebody? That's all kingdom. That's all kingdom. That's all kingdom. That's all kingdom. I'm going to give you another word. There's a whole lot of small things that God wants some people to start taking responsibility for. Forget the title. Just do it and watch what God will do. Jonathan didn't know that him having that attitude, which was God, was going to make all the difference in the world. Jonathan went from nobody hanging around Dad to becoming somebody to reckon with. Let me just say something. The reputation of this house is getting out there. We do not advertise in Petawawa, and every week we have visitors. I've never been in a culture where there's so many visitors all the time. We haven't been able to land them. And I said, God, what are you doing? Where's all these people coming from? And he says, I'm advertising my house. Is that okay? It's your house. So here's my question. God, where are you? You will answer that. God, where are you? Will we choose to be Jonathan's? Will we choose with every fiber of our willpower and our resources to do whatever it takes to do what Dad wants? Somebody asked me a week ago, how do you stay so fired up? I tell you, there's only one way I stay fired up. I am so passionate about obeying him no matter what it costs. I am so passionate about doing what he wants no matter what it costs. Nothing else matters to me. I wasn't that way for a long time. I wasn't that way for a long time as a leader. And then I made a decision. Whatever it costs me, I will do it. Why? Here's why. I want to tell you a story and then I'm going to end. There was a guy in Petawawa. He's now passed away. He passed away a few months ago. And he came to me one time and he was very restricted in his Christian expression, if you know what I mean. He loved Jesus, but he just had a certain protocol about him, and he loved Jesus, and his wife was sick, so she couldn't come, and he would come and sit in the back row, and he was always the last guy in, or not necessarily maybe the last, but close to the last and the first guy out, because he had to leave by 12 to get home to look after his wife, and Dave was his name. Dave came to me one day, well, actually, 2016, December the 18th, 2016, Dave was preaching that morning, and I drove to Petawawa to hear him. Because I just wanted to hear him. I never heard him preach. Didn't know what he was going to preach on. And he began to share a very simple scripture text about the best is yet to come. And as soon as he said it, the best is yet to come, something jumped on the inside of me. Something went off like a rocket. And he preached. He read his sermon, actually. He read the whole thing and never looked up. And I went, wow. And I walked up and I says, man, God, that was good. Man, Dave, that was awesome. He said, really? I said, you gave the word of the Lord. And he says, what are you talking about? I said, you said it. And he said, I didn't even think about it. He said, you said the best is yet to come. And so I said, well, God, what does all that mean? And that was in December. And January, the Lord asked me if I would ask the leadership if I could fill the pulpit till they found somebody. And they said, absolutely. And the first sermon I preached a year ago was, how big is God? And the people needed to get their eyes on how big God was. And a few months later, Dave came to me and he says, Perry, he said, you're not going to believe this, but we bought Chinese food the other day and we opened a fortune cookie. I goes, oh, yeah. And he says, you're not going to believe what was in the fortune cookie. I goes, oh, yeah. And he said, you know what it said in the fortune cookie? He says, tell me, Dave. He says, the best is yet to come. And I went, that's so cool. About a week or two later, Dave was part of the Gideon organization. And Dave comes into church and he had all the displays at the back. And he had the cards and the books and, you know, the thing that the Gideons do. And he grabs one of these birthday cards and he runs up to the front with me after church had started during the break we had. He said, you're not going to believe this, but look at this. He says, it says right here, the best is yet to come. I went, oh, Dave. I said, it sure sounds like God's trying to get something to you and us. And then I forget what the fourth situation was, but somewhere God just downloaded another one of those phrases to Dave. And I grabbed a hold of that in my spirit. And it shifted something on the inside of me. And every fiber of my being believes this with every ounce that I can, the best is yet to come. I used to quote that and say that and say, oh yeah, that's nice, but I didn't really believe it. And then at Father's Day, I was given this plaque. How many times does the Lord have to confirm his word before we finally say yes? You see, I have a real sense that God is really trying to say something. I have a real sense that God is trying to really convince you here. You ain't seen nothing yet. But it takes determination. It takes intentionality. It takes some guts. It takes some sweat. It takes some sacrifice. I would say to you, where is God? He is here. And I would say his purpose is to bring to you personally and to bring to you corporately the best that your heart cries for, even when you don't know what that is. So my conclusion is this. My application is this. Will you go for it? I also heard in my spirit something else. He's lighting passion in the house. He's lighting passion. There's a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. But I want more of you, God. I've got to have more of you, God. And so I'm here to declare to this house, more. 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 But to go for more, you can't look at yesterday. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on. It's time to press. Where is God? And he will show himself strong. He will. I will not give a benediction. I'm going to turn it back to Pastor Stephanie, but I will not. You want a scripture text for this? Ephesians 3:20. To do exceedingly abundantly. Beyond anything I know. Amen.